Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby. And North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know your neighbors and hearing what really cool stuff they're doing with us and for us in this really cool community we get to call our neighborhood. And today we get to chat with Karen. She's basically the head of Life South Community Blood Drive. Karen, we've gotten to speak really throughout this whole pandemic, and you're just constantly reminding us that Life South is in need of blood.
Absolutely, especially right now, this time of year, with the COVID numbers going up a little bit, and our major accounts we have, like colleges and universities, with students working remotely. It's been a little bit of a struggle, but we're lucky that the community is coming out, and we hope to see even more of them for this upcoming Thanksgiving.
Right, and Karen, to kind of backtrack, there's so many different organizations that collect blood and help deliver blood throughout. So can you kind of tell us what exactly Life South does with the blood donations?
Absolutely. So Life South, we started actually in 1974. Our headquarters is in Gainesville, Florida, and we expanded to the Jacksonville area back in 2017. We are now providing all the blood needed for patients at Wolfson's Children's Hospital, Memorial Hospital, Orange Park Medical Center, and all Baptist Health locations. So the need for blood is pretty high. We're in a large city, and unfortunately, accidents happen all the time. And the blood is needed before something happens. So a lot of times people don't really realize how important it is until it affects somebody personally.
And it sounds like you guys give a lot, which means y'all need a lot.
Absolutely. The city of Jacksonville and just the hospitals that we partner with need over 300,000 blood donations a year. And that's just based on last numbers, not considering what's going on right now with the pandemic and the need for convalescent plasma.
Okay, so where do we come in for this? Because like you mentioned before, oftentimes we'll see the van or the bus outside of college campuses or churches or restaurants, but a lot of these things aren't even open. So what can we do to make this conscious effort for y'all?
Sure. You can just visit lifesouth.org. All of our blood mobiles and our blood drives can be found there, so people can easily put their zip code in and find a location that's convenient for them. And if somebody is interested in donating convalescent plasma to help patients recover from the disease, they can visit our Bay Meadows Center. That's over on 7840 Bay Meadows Way. And you can easily go to our website and make an appointment. We really would love to see some donors come in and see us.
Karen, can you kind of unravel the difference between donating blood and then donating plasma? And if you wanted to and feeling super ambitious, can you do both of those at the same time? Is that okay for your body?
Well, actually, if you know your status and you've actually received a test result that said you had COVID-19 and you've recovered, donating convalescent plasma is a little bit different. To donate plasma, you come into our center, you sit in a big comfy chair, and you're hooked up to a machine, and it's a process called apheresis. It's actually where a machine takes your blood, it takes your plasma out, and then gives you your red blood cells and your platelets back. So it's a little bit of a different process. When you donate whole blood, like on our blood mobiles, you actually come in and you just donate a pint of blood. That blood will be tested for the COVID-19 antibodies. And whenever you donate blood, you actually do have a bit of plasma that does go to help the patient. But if you donate a whole unit of plasma, you can actually help 5 people that are having a hard time battling the COVID-19 disease.
So many different options and opportunities just for us to come and serve. And Life South always makes it fun. Like, it's not dreary to go donate blood, but y'all kind of always put a little good twist on it. And recently was the Florida Georgia game, and y'all twisted it with bleed for your team. Was that a good turnout?
Absolutely. We had a wonderful turnout for bleed for your team. This was our third year having the blood drive. Last year, the blood drive donors, they actually, we had some people when they came in, they could pick a team that they're rooting for. So last year, the donors picked Georgia as being the winning team, which they were last year. But this year, we had an overwhelming response from the Florida fans. And like last year, the donors decided the game this year with Florida coming out on top.
Oh, okay, sweet. So can I ask how many donations y'all were able to get from that event?
I don't have the actual numbers, but I believe our impact was over 400 units that we could send out to our local hospital. So great response. We really love the fans for showing up and having some team spirit to go through the weekend. And we're just so thankful that they all came out and participated with us.
And they also got a T-shirt, right?
Oh, absolutely. We had some custom T-shirts, whether you're a Florida fan, a Georgia fan, an FSU fan, an Alabama fan, depending on where you were at. Obviously, here in Florida, we didn't really get any Alabama shirts since our main rivalry was Florida-Georgia. But across our footprint, we just had a wonderful response.
Usually when football season kind of rolls around, we know that we're at the tail end of hurricane season. So does that mean you guys are in a position to kind of let up on needing blood? Because so often Florida gets hit super hard by these hurricanes and LifeSouth comes in with a relief team. Is that still
Absolutely.
Needed?
Absolutely. Well, we were able to handle the small storms that came our way, so the storms luckily did not cause much of a disruption in our process, but with the holidays, our blood needs typically go into critical need just because everyone's so busy, and this is, of course, on top of the COVID-19 crisis we have right now. So the need for blood around the holidays is always in critical need. LifeSouth works every day but Thanksgiving and Christmas Day because the need never stops. So, of course, we don't stop either.
So why is there such a need? Like, yeah, you said people are really busy, but why is blood needed during the holiday season as opposed to during summertime?
Well, sure. Well, the holidays don't take a break from car accidents. People that are receiving treatment for certain conditions like cancer, they still need those life-changing medications to save their lives. So while people sometimes can take a break for holidays, the car accidents, people needing care, that never stops.
Yeah, and that makes sense because, I mean, I know personally when it comes to Thanksgiving and Christmas time, I'm totally thrown off of my routine. So maybe when I'm driving home and I see LifeSouth bus, I typically stop by and donate, but now I might not be driving that way anymore. Or I might even be out of town.
Right. We are really lucky this year. We are going to put a fun spin on Thanksgiving this year. Around Thanksgiving time, when this COVID crisis isn't taking place, people normally would go to the movies because everybody has the day after Thanksgiving off. But that was always something I know when I was growing up. We went to the movies after Thanksgiving. But now, since the movie theaters are kind of closing and they're only offering private screenings, we're putting a fun twist on it this year by having a Fandango Now voucher. So whenever people come and donate, they'll get a voucher to screen whatever movie they would like, whatever series. So yeah, we're just giving them an option of being home and being safe, but it's a great opportunity if there's been a movie coming out you've been wanting to see and just don't feel comfortable going to the movie theater, you should definitely come see us and we'll hook you up.
Oh my gosh, what a cool incentive.
Yeah, absolutely. This is also in addition to the free health screening and the COVID-19 antibody test that you'll get when you donate as well.
And all we have to do is come out and donate. And Karen, again, remind me where we can find where the buses are or if there's a location we can just stop by and donate there.
Absolutely, absolutely. You can go to LifeSouth.org. We have a center that's now reopened at Baptist Medical Center. So if you're downtown and a Monday, Wednesday, or Friday would work for you, we'd love to see you at our Baptist Center. And then, of course, we have our donation center where you can donate convalescent plasma here on Bay Meadows Way.
So again, I love how LifeSouth always provides all these different opportunities and locations. You guys never make it an inconvenience, but if anything, something easier than it should be.
Absolutely. I mean, we love to see donors. If there's a community out there or a local church or business that would like to have a blood drive with us this holiday season, we would love to work with them. It's totally free to have a blood drive. We provide all the promotional materials, snacks, donor gifts, and all of our staff will be there with smiling faces waiting to see people get on our blood mobile.
I love the emphasis on the smiling faces. And Karen, one thing, I learned this probably several months ago, but it's something that I don't think is shared enough. Can you kind of tell me the impact of what happens when one person donates blood?
Absolutely. When one person donates blood, they actually are going to be saving three people's lives. So that's three people that might not get to see another Thanksgiving, another birthday, or another Christmas. So it's an incredible gift. You can almost be a secret Santa is a good way to look at it for a patient in need right here in our community.
And I feel like during a time of thankfulness and I mean, truly Thanksgiving, why not be generous in donating something we have plenty of and something that some people don't have enough of?
Right. And if you're currently concerned about the current situation with COVID-19, we want everybody to know that we're disinfecting everything. We check temperatures before somebody gets on the blood mobile. We are wearing masks and following all CDC guidelines. So donating blood is 100% safe, and we would really love to see some donors come out.
I know that information is super comforting for a lot of people, you know, just given the state of the pandemic. Well, Karen, one more time, tell me how we can reach you or how we can reach a Life South donation bus or even y'all's building.
Okay, yes. Just visit our website. It's lifesouth.org. You can find all the information there. And if there's any questions or anything like that, don't hesitate to give us a call. We're more than welcome to walk you through the process. And it's just a little pinch, and you can do so much.
Karen, thank you for doing so much constantly and for just being the forefront of this need and for being such a sweet neighbor.
Thank you, Colby. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your help and your partnership in spreading the word about the importance of blood donation during this holiday season.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio. Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood.
Hey, I'm Colby, and thanks for listening to North Florida Neighborhood. North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and seeing what cool stuff they're doing with us and in our community. And a local neighbor that just about everybody in Jacksonville knows is Wanda Willis. She's the Director of Community for the Kummer Museum of Art and Gardens. Wanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Colby, for having me on your show this morning. I'm very excited to talk about what we've got going on at the Kummer.
Yeah, I'm so excited, too. And for people who are either new to Jacksonville or don't get out much, can you kind of first give us a rundown of what the Kummer is?
Well, sure. The Kummer Museum of Art and Gardens is a beautiful gallery and garden space in the Riverside area. We've been in the community for almost 60 years and just a wonderful place to come and enjoy the beautiful galleries that we have, and we also have a very beautiful garden located right on the St. John's River that is a great place for families and everyone to just enjoy a great and beautiful space and enjoy the art and culture.
Wanda, it seems like I've really been able to walk through this whole pandemic with the Kummer Museum just from y'all not being open and then going virtual and doing some at-home things and now slowly reopening and now even getting new material in the museum.
Right, right, exactly. After closing to the public in March, we really had to sort of transition our programming and experiences to a virtual format. So we were really still able to connect with our community, making some of our museum resources available to the public, of course, safely from their homes. And now that we reopened in July, of course, with all of the CDC guidelines for safety, we've been able to allow the community to come inside the museum at this point and enjoy some of the beautiful collection works of art that we have, also our garden area as well. So we are really excited that we've been able to not only pivot with the change, but really to still be able to engage the community, specifically at a time where people are going through lots of emotional uphill and stressful times. We look at the museum as a place where people can come and just really kind of take some space and time to really sort of reflect and just enjoy.
Wanda, I think you said it best when you said y'all have been able to pivot with the change. You kind of had to readjust and reanalyze what y'all were doing so that you could still be a part of our neighborhood. So kind of tell me what that change has looked like now as we're 6, 7, 8 months through all of this.
Sure. Well, even though we're open at this point, when you come to the museum, you will see sort of a different space. We have put in place several safety protocols and policies that our guests would have to adhere to. Number one, with areas on the floor that are designed to make sure that people are socially distanced as they're enjoying the inside. You'll also see lots of sanitizer stations so that people can make sure that they are keeping their hands sanitized and cleaned. And you'll just see different spacing out. We also have now timed ticketing so that we sort of limit the number of people that are in the museum at the same time. And however, we do close periodically between those time sessions to make sure that the museum is clean and safe for everyone to continue to be able to enjoy.
It's helpful hearing that you guys have kind of reprioritized just everything that the museum has to offer to make us feel as safe as we possibly could. But not only are we safe, but we are going to be super entertained with everything y'all have to offer now.
We do. We've got some updated gallery spaces that, of course, highlight the strength and the diversity of our permanent collection, and several events that will be held both virtually and, of course, safely distanced at the museum that will provide great opportunities for people to just relax and find some inspiration. And I think at this point in time in our lives, in the middle of COVID, we could all use a little bit of inspiration.
Yeah. Well, what kind of stuff do we have to look forward to with the Cummer this fall?
Well, we've got, of course, in October, got opportunities for some outdoor picnics and live concerts on Fridays. That is very, very enjoyable, and people get the opportunity to not only enjoy a little bit of the museum and the galleries, but also to be able to enjoy the beautiful gardens and to be socially distanced outside while still enjoying the art and the beautiful gardens of the Cummer. Also, we have sort of a new initiative that we started at the Cummer that really was initiated through as we move through the pandemic, called Culture in Conversation, which we have now blended into a series as part of our efforts to really kind of focus and collaborate with community partners, and also really just to find out what our community needs and really just to be able to hear the voices of our community. And in that space, also bringing forth some diverse artists so that the community can hear from them and some of the works that they're doing as well. So we've got that coming up soon. I've got a couple other really important conversations lined up for the remainder of the year.
So much going on. No reason to stay home, but we can come out, be really entertained while feeling safe also. And Wanda, is this something that we have to make reservations to, or can we just kind of show up?
Well, the Culture in Conversation is a free event. However, you do need to register online It is a virtual event, so once you register, we'll be able to send a Zoom link and all of that information as to how to connect. So that is a virtual event. And also, another event we've got coming up is the Virtual Enviro Fest on October 17th. And also, later in the month, a conversation with a couple of virtual artist conversations with Dustin Harewood and Crystal Floyd. So really, really excited about that. But if anyone needs any additional information on those events, they can, of course, visit our website, which is cummermuseum.org, and also to follow us on social media.
Okay, now I want to back it up a little bit. What is the Enviro Fest? Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, the Enviro Fest is really connected with, we have a new exhibit that will be opening up fairly soon that will focus on the environment and things of that nature. So it's a really fun kind of outdoor, environmentally educational program that we are presenting at the Cummer as part of one of our new exhibitions.
And are you guys still offering, like, the Sunset Garden picnics? I know it was kind of iffy with the whole pandemic, but especially now that it's somewhat cooler out, is that something that's available?
Absolutely. We will host our sunset picnics every week in October, and those also will be listed on our website. And I will say that they're really popular. I think people are so excited to be able to enjoy the outside that they really fill up pretty quickly. So I would encourage anyone who's interested in attending to please go ahead and go on the website and try to register for that. And as I shared earlier, these events are all socially distant. We only allow a certain number of attendees in the garden so people can continue to be socially distanced and spaced out and still be able to enjoy a great evening at the Cummer.
And it's a first-come, first-served basis?
It is first-come, first-served, those sunset picnics. So the website will have all the information where you can come and enjoy the music. We'll have live music. And you can also order a great picnic lunch from our cafe, which is kind of cool, too.
Yeah, that's so fun. And Wanda, again, tell me that website where we can register and get more info.
Sure. That website, everyone can visit cummermuseum.org, and you'll get for our hours, our time, ticket information, any of our online resources, and any other events that we have coming up. So we are really excited about that.
So much fun things happening with the Cummer. And Wanda, for one, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor. And
oh, thank you.
For two, thank you for just kind of walking alongside us in this whole pandemic and for staying open and for finding new ways to encompass what you offer while also entertaining us.
Sure. Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I hope that you'll take some time to come out and visit us at the Cummer. We've got a new tagline, come take a moment. So it's not only an opportunity to come and enjoy the art and beauty and culture, but really an opportunity to just take a moment. And I think we all at this point in our lives need to do just that and just take a moment.
Yes, Wanda, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio. can't seem to get away from the bad news. So, here's some good news for a change.
I can't imagine not being able to see my dad during this whole pandemic. And one daughter couldn't imagine that either. So, she made a way to see hers. Her dad lives in a nursing home that obviously didn't allow any outside guests to visit. So, the daughter decided she'd apply to be the activities and events coordinator. She got the position, so now she can facilitate bingo games and hang out with her dad whenever she wants. Now, that's good news.
These are unique times, and Jacksonville.radio is standing with you. We provide local, family-friendly radio across multiple formats and frequencies with a diverse and loyal audience. Let us help get your message and your marketing into our communities. Call Jax.radio today so we can discuss how we can help your business. Let us help you get the right message in front of the right audience at the right time. Call 904-74-RIGHT. That's 904-74-7448.
Colds, flu, and viruses equal germs and bacteria. Fight all of these with a Lampergier lamp, invented in 1898 specifically for use in hospitals to kill germs by purifying the air. Every doctor's office, daycare, and cancer center, wherever people gather, should be using a Lampergier lamp on a daily basis. Sprays and plug-ins are not the answer for killing germs. Lampergier is. Annabelle's of Orange Park is your most knowledgeable Lampergier dealer. Annabelle's, 904-272-5544.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with great low prices on decorations inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees to light up the living room, outside lights and playful inflatables that bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
The app is so easy to use and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Get holiday savings now at the Home Depot on select GE appliances, washers, and dryers in either white or diamond gray, just $5.98 each. You get a high-efficiency top-load washer and dryer, plus a two-year limited parts and labor warranty. Order online, you'll even get free delivery. Holiday appliance shopping, improve. Save on select GE appliances now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Continental U.S. only. While supplies last. Valid through December 2nd. Free delivery on orders $396 or more.
You know what's not healthy? Stressing about work. Or maybe you're out of work. Stop. Hit reset. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. Financial aid, including the GI Bill, is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And yeah, we live in Florida, so we don't get to experience the typical winter that some people might have, but we still make it fun in our own beach town little way. And today, who gets to share the joy and all the fun that Christmas has along with it is Curtis Loftus, the founder and development director for Deck the Chairs. Curtis, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Colby. I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited to tell your audience what's all going on at Deck the Chairs for 2020. So any questions, any conversation that lets me share all the joy and the magic in the chair, I'm ready.
Yes, Curtis, I'm so excited because I don't like winter at all, but you make winter appealing and kind of fit the lifestyle I live and a lot of Floridians live, which is beachy. So first, kind of unravel, what is Deck the Chairs and how's it fit our little town?
I love it. Yeah, so I wish I could. One of these days I'm going to be able to answer this like elevator speech kind of thing. But
no, please don't. I want the raw, unfiltered version.
All right. So in 2012, Jack's Beach, which I've lived in Jack's Beach for now 30, almost 4 years, and raised my children here. I'm a small business owner. Have had a business out here at the beach. Love the beach. Love beach culture. And we just missed on lights in 2012. And that's a long story. But the downtown space, a lot of the streets, you know, typically you'd see lighting on the lanterns or on the street posts. You'd see some lighting in the park space. And for whatever reason, long story, but couldn't do it. The city wasn't able to do it, or they missed. And as a small business owner and other small business owners, we wondered what had happened and did a little investigative stuff and found out, you know, it's just budgets and time and responsibilities. And I had that same year been running on the beach and enjoying one of my summer early morning beach runs and seeing lifeguard chairs. And the lifeguard chairs, I'm going to just say it straight up. They spoke to me. It was like, they did. It was just, I love these symbols. They're just beautiful, tall, 9-foot red, bright symbols for, well, obviously our beach community, but public safety. They have a history. And I was just talking to myself, which I do a lot of, while I'm running and praying and doing the thing. And it just sort of was like, those, we can celebrate around those symbols. And I didn't know what it was going to be at the time, but I just felt like those symbols mean so much. And as a community, we need more positive reinforcement. We don't celebrate our own heritage as much as we can, the traditions. And I just went from the run back to the house. And then, I don't know, it's a long story on this, but I ended up doing a project with another nonprofit years ago. And it was painting manatees and putting them around the city. And I love the idea of painting the manatees and putting them through the city and raising money for the nonprofit and also celebrating culture and art. And I merged the two. I thought, let's take those beautiful red lifeguard chairs and let's take the idea of decorating and painting and art and create something. And that same summer, I mean, summer went into fall went into Christmas season. And the next thing you see decorated lifeguard chairs all over the park space in Jack's Beach. Kind of roughly how it worked. And I know it's a crazy quick way to tell the story, but we launched Deck the Chairs in 2013, had maybe 16 chairs in the park space. And those were all small businesses that basically sponsor a chair and then decorate the chair and celebrate the beach community with these wonderful 9-foot tall decorated chairs. So it was a great start to what is now 8 years later, this massive event. And I'm still running and involved in it and watching it grow and become a regional display that lots and lots of people come to from all parts of the country and actually all parts of the world. We have people from all over the place come in to Deck the Chairs and take pictures and celebrate with us. So it's an incredible experience and just really honored to be doing it.
Curtis, it's
long-winded answer.
No, I love long-winded. I don't like surface level and shallow. And because we got to chat last year and I kind of got to know the premise of Deck the Chairs and what y'all did as an organization, but I don't think I ever heard how it started. And as someone who's grown up in Florida their whole life and is really tailored to the beach community, I love that you took something that I personally see every single day and you put your own little winter twist on it. But if I hadn't have already gone to Deck the Chairs, I can envision what you're talking about. But I think some people might think, okay, wow, you strung a couple lights on these chairs. Like, good for you. But
it almost happened that way. The very first year, we didn't know what we were doing. I just knew we needed to, or my hope was that we celebrated not just the community with the chairs, but the art piece of it, the decorating piece of it. So my idea was at the time really crazy, like over the top. My head was telling me, I mean, almost Disney-like. We're going to take these lifeguard chairs and we're going to get the big build experts and all the, you know, wonderful engineers and the creative experts from, you know, North Florida. We're going to come together and we're going to get super talented people and build the heck out of these chairs. Like, make it. My idea was, can we do a Nemo meets Dr. Seuss?
Yes.
Yes, that was the whole thing. It was like, we'll take these chairs and we're going to put them in the park space. And when someone steps into the park space, we're going to have this crazy coastal Nemo-esque Dr. Seuss looking space. And of course, my vision was way, way ahead of myself and way far from what we ended up doing, which is, I think what we're doing now is much sweeter and much more in tune and in line with the beach and our businesses and who we are. But the essence of it is, let's take a chair and let's tell a story. So every one of these chairs, as I talk to a sponsor or talk to a nonprofit organization, and there's 40 of them out there in the park, Whoa. Each one is their own story, which is beautiful. So now, when a sponsor comes in or someone says, hey, I love this event and I'd love to decorate a chair, how does it work? I have to go through a whole process of, well, this is about you doing outreach. This is about you sharing your story, and let's get creative with it. So if you want to, you can do a Christmas message, or if you'd like to, you can do a coastal message. But really, if you have a story as a nonprofit organization, you can actually share that story in a very creative way and decorate in a way that when someone steps into the space and sees it for the first time, they actually are educated, right? So what happens, people like Beaches Go Green, which is a great nonprofit organization, a startup here in the Beaches area, she's got a plastics story, a plastics message. So her whole display is about outreach and education and sharing about who they are. And then they wrap lights around it, and the kids are amazed, and the parents are learning something. And it becomes just this wonderful multi-educational, multi-sort of cultural thing all in one space. So, again, long-winded answer of what's become and how Deck the Chairs evolved. But we have 40 different stories out in the park now, which I think is amazing. And it's really a cool thing to experience. And it's very, very different from anything else in the world right now. So I'm just thrilled to be doing it.
In these 40 different stories, they're not just these franchise companies, but they are real local people that we get to do life with in our neighborhood, which is
right.
is speaks volumes to me.
It's amazing. So we have, I think this year, 12 nonprofits, like Boys and Girls Club joined us this year. And
oh, whoa.
Yeah, so they're doing a chair out there that looks amazing, and it's super creative. And the gentleman that's the director of many of the Boys and Girls Clubs, he's got art and fabrication background. So when we talked 2 months ago about his chair, I knew right away he fully understood process and understood how to get the kids involved and then how to even execute, you know, the build. So you'll see the Boys and Girls Club, you'll see UNF, their alumni association, and their living learning communities out here. You're going to see a brand new mental health awareness group that just set up at the beach. They're brand new, and it's just amazing. So lots of stories, lots of, I think what's really cool about it too is at times you wonder, how can you speak to a child, or how can you speak to you know, an adult and do it in a way, certainly at Christmas time or during the holidays, that's still impactful but doesn't take away from also the joy. So it's kind of a neat combination of multiple elements that allow people to experience a community, experience the businesses and the organizations, but also walk away with joy.
Okay, Curtis, I want to backtrack on something you just said that you mulled over, but it caught my attention. All right, you said you've been talking with the Boys and Girls Club just kind of about their chair and the mm-hmm. design of it 2 months ago. In my mind, I thought this was something y'all just throw together in like the week before it gets put up, but there's a lot of thought behind these chairs.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yes. So we start in January, February, and we review what last year's event, the previous year, and then we get started. And that's the development side of this.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
Yes. I'm in, well, probably March, April, starting to do some work with businesses and organizations, and we're already talking about chairs and what they're doing. And some of these folks, it takes 3 months to do a chair.
No.
4 months, some of them. Yeah. So it's crazy because they look professional and you don't think twice about how something like that came about. But there's planning and there's materials. We're out in the elements. So you have wind and you have rain and nor'easters. I mean, that's one of our big challenges every year is we have to deal with the outdoor elements. So you plan around the elements, you plan around things that could get destroyed in, you know, the wind and the rain. You make sure that no one's going to be disappointed once they, you know, spend the 3 months working on it and they build this thing and then it falls apart, you know, out in the elements. So a lot of planning. And it's quite a bit of work. And that's one of the other things about Deck the Chairs, that to the point you made earlier, you just, people think you're just stringing lights on chairs and you're walking away from them, but you really aren't. You're creating like little art pieces, and they have to stay together in the elements. And water and electricity don't always go well together. So we end up having to maintain a 6-week exhibit, and that's a group of volunteers and a lot of people that have to keep eyes on the park and make sure that it doesn't fall apart on us.
I'm so glad you kind of talked about that, because knowing all the effort that goes in behind the scenes makes you appreciate these little miniature works of art on a whole nother level.
And thank you. Yep.
And again, I get the privilege of chatting with Curtis Loftus, the founder and development director for Deck the Chairs. He's bringing a lot of Christmas joy to us, especially this year. And Curtis, you kind of started the brainstorming process back in 2012, and then first exhibit was 2013, and now here we are just about 8 years later. So how has the mission of Deck the Chairs shifted in these past 8 years?
Well, we've definitely learned a lot, and we've paid more attention to the arts and the art side of our work. And when I launched, primarily the goal was run this thing, manage it, and give our city and our residents a free exhibit. So that piece was always center to the mission. Let's do something for the city that doesn't stress the city and cost them. They gave us the park space, and they said, Curtis, don't mess everything up. You know, do a nice job. Clean it all up when it's done. But basically, that's the arrangement. We have a park space, and we have electricity, and then we put this big display together and run it. And the city's the beneficiary in terms of thousands and thousands of people coming into the space and enjoying what we do here. But over time, we started doing programs and doing, and of course, the lifeguards were our primary beneficiary as well. After we finished the exhibit, what we started to do is just support them, because we were using their chairs, and it made a whole lot of sense because they're a nonprofit as well. So over time, the programming got stronger and bigger, the displays got bigger, and we just paid more and more attention to the arts, children's arts programs especially. So now essentially what we're doing is working on that side of our mission and moving towards children's art programs, children's arts and outreach in general. You know, the chance for a child to have access to the arts, to be able to work in the arts, to understand the arts, creativity, the processes that we go through, we just are really dialed into that now. And that's what you'll see when you come out here. You'll see children's programming. You'll see children's art throughout the place. And we're just going to keep focusing on the arts.
And I love how you keep mentioning not just the arts, but the children, too, because that's the next up-and-coming generation that will hopefully be involved with the chairs.
Right. Absolutely. So the kids, so I started in 2013, and my grandson was barely a year old. He was about 10 months old when we were building the very first Deck of Chairs. And it was essentially then that I realized it was going to be somewhat a legacy thing, where I was hoping to build and work for as long as it was necessary to get something stable and really sufficient and sustain, just make sure we could hand it off. So the kids, as we've watched the kids grow up, we watched the kids experience Deck of Chairs, as we talk to the families, talk to all the people that come into the park. Now, 8 years later, you have kids that were, 8 years old when they came to their first Deck the Chairs, and now they're driving cars. And as soon, before you know it, they may be parents themselves with their own kids. And they just, we'd love to have this tradition continue for years and years down the road. And we're just trying to do our best to stabilize it. It's a lot of work out here, and we are a nonprofit. So donations are important. Sponsorships are important. People working from a volunteer standpoint are very, very important. And we're just trying our best to make it better every year.
So Curtis, y'all are a nonprofit, and then y'all also really appeal to other nonprofits, because this money that these local companies are spending to, in a sense, advertise with the chairs, what's that going towards?
So again, what they do is they pay a little bit of money. It's not expensive to do Deck the Chairs. From an outreach standpoint, I think the biggest cost for a group, a nonprofit, or a business is decorating. At the end of the day, you could probably, depending on your investment, that's where really the time and energy and resources go, is making sure you have a nice chair for the 6-week period. But really, the hope is that these different organizations, businesses, nonprofits, the outreach that they experience through Deck the Chairs is what the win-win is on everything. So our businesses, for instance, downtown, didn't have anything going on in 2012 in the winter months, right? Mm-hmm. So now we have this beautiful event that runs for 6 weeks. So we know how many thousands are coming into the space and what it looks like and how it works. And we just want to promote our space, promote our the people that live here, give our residents something that's inexpensive or actually free. So the beneficiaries are kind of all throughout the community, and it's really up to us just to make sure that we run a safe, family-friendly, accessible, very much joy-filled experience, so that as we try to improve it each year, the story that's being told is this mission, this view of what they are doing for the beach community, maybe, can be done in other. If we get copied, great. We'd love to see other people try to, copy, emulate what we do with Deck the Chairs, because we do believe it's got a lot of pieces to it that are beneficial to a lot of different folks.
My favorite part about Deck the Chairs is I think last year I went 3 or 4 times, and there's so much going on that even though I went 4 times, I noticed something new. Like, oh, I didn't see that last time. There's so much happening.
Yeah, well, there's a music show that happens. So the tree in the centerpiece is a programmed music show, and there's 11 chairs that are surrounding the tree that are attached to it. And so on the hour, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 9, every weekend. Well, and then we start running it now every night, but we run a music light show. And so that's going on. Concessions are going on the weekends. And then programming. So we have worked on programs and reached out to the community and let the dance troops that are here and the music programs that are here and the little theater programs, the community theater programs that are here, let them know that we have a stage and a space available. And then we man that for free. We basically set the schedule and we work people into weekend programs that are really special, and the parents dig it and the kids love it. And we just, every weekend there's something going on. We do Christmas Eve. We have, as I said, the Octopus Garden. That thing is I don't know if we've talked a lot about it, but Beaches Go Green has this massive octopus, and they do these fun little snowball fights on the weekends, and bubble machines, and some programming, as I said, that's educational. So you're right. You can come in to Deck the Chairs on a weekend and hang out for a good hour and a half and find just something new every weekend.
And I'm so thankful that we live somewhere that, I mean, even during December and November, now we see it, it doesn't get lower than like 70 degrees. So, I mean, this outdoor event isn't miserable because we live in a beautiful place.
Yeah. The biggest thing is a lot of times our nor'easters and just wind, wind and rain, but that usually clears out in the day. So we're pretty lucky, aren't we?
Oh my gosh. So thankful. And Curtis, if you want to keep it a secret, you totally can, but can you kind of tell us what we have to look forward to in terms of different setups with Deck the Chairs this year? We heard about Beaches Go Green, but is there anything new?
That's a big one. So yeah, Beaches Go Green came back. I'm going to just give her some props. That was a lot of work last year. And when you come out this year, please just walk that space. It's beautiful. It's a custom built octopus. It's 100 feet wide. It's got all this plastics messaging going on. It really is strong plastics awareness. So the kids and the adults just go, oh, maybe I should think a little bit about, the single-use bottles that are at my house, And so she's done a lot to even help us as an organization and how we handle concessions and how we handle some of our own products, because we're just more sensitive to the environment now. So that's a wonderful space. And then the, Latham Plaza area, which is where 22 chairs are. As I said, Boys and Girls Club are there. They've got UNF, and we already mentioned UNF, and we've got some returning sponsors like Beach House, which has this beautiful replica roller coaster from the beaches had a roller coaster ride back in the 50s and 60s, and that roller coaster is replicated. There's candy cane lamps that are set up this year that are brand new. They look really sweet and beautiful. We built some of these 10-foot tall candy cane lamps. It's just the park is going to be different. It's not the same park again. We sort of reorganized our chairs so that the displays are a little further apart because of COVID. We want everyone to be safe and happy. And so we've reorganized the park and opened up the space, and you can walk in the grass. You're actually almost encouraged that you walk around and get in the grass and stuff. And it's just, it's going to be joy filled. You know, the kids are going to love it. There's a lot of picture taking opportunity out here at Deck the Chairs. So, I mean, bring your friends, bring a cell phone, take pictures, share pictures, brag about it if you'd like. We're excited that we get to do it for another year, especially in the mess of 2020.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Something to look forward to. And we see just all these incredible Christmas lights, but then, like you said, to be able to take photos with them and just a time to finally be joyous. And what I really love about Deck the Chairs is it's totally free. But with this, there's a lot of work and hands-on that goes into it. So, Curtis, is Deck the Chairs in need of some kind of monetary donations? Is there an opportunity for us to give?
Well, thanks. Yeah, this year what we're trying to do at least is educate people to the point of this, even our conversation today. A lot of folks don't know that this is a year-round effort. I spend my entire year working with people in development and trying to figure out what the display is going to look like and how it's going to operate and then the programming side of it. So, yes, that piece, which is build and decorate, is always a stress. And the program. So we'll bring in, you know, new speakers. We've got new light shows. We've got everything is predicated on can we do enough to raise money through the sponsorships and donors to put on a show that's safe and, again, an experience that everyone can enjoy. So we always are trying to build on the experience and make it something special. And it just, we get a lot of friends and a lot of businesses that do in kind and support us with donations. But from the audience standpoint, when you come out, if you see a sign and there's a little like QR code on it that says, hey, you can help us out and make a donation, well, you know, just use your phone and make a donation. It can be $5, $1, whatever, but anything will help. And we actually have ornaments this year again. So the ornaments and the T-shirts and the cocoa and the coffee, all that's part of what will help us pay bills. And then there's a coloring book this year. So we also did a special coloring book. And so that's another item that, you know, someone can buy a keepsake and help us out as an organization.
I know personally, I want Deck the Chairs to be around for forever. And for when I have kids, just like how you said, stepping into a legacy, I really do want that. So go out, donate, have a great time. And Curtis, is there a website if we want to find more information, or if we're a business and we want to get ready to sponsor for 2021, how can we get more info from you?
Now, that's a great question, and thank you for asking that one. So website is www.deckthechairs.org, and it's a pretty robust site. I mean, it's up to date. We do our best with that. We have a decent Facebook following, and we'd love to grow that. So if you want to like us on Facebook, that's, you know, Facebook.com/deckthechairs. And, you know, we're doing what we can with a lot of, again, just volunteers. So we build the website and refurbish that. We've got a Facebook page that's pretty up to date. But yeah, we'd love more folks just following us.
Well, perfect. Curtis, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
And lights run from 5 in the afternoon till 1 in the morning, and then we close down January 1.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King.